I really thank you for trying that new song out with us, and perhaps we will sing that again soon. It is it's one of those that's tucked in the inside cover of my Bible. It says, to be played at Jerry's funeral. I'm not sad or troubled by that. It's just, to me, knowing Jesus better than anything in this life. And that's what Philippians chapter 3 is going to talk to us about today, where we'll dig into God's word together. But, you know, besides a new song, just real quickly, I do want to put in a new encouragement for you to come to that town hall meeting, because that's a chance, you know, in here you do listening, right? We try to, we hear God's word, we hear hopefully a halfway decent sermon, we receive the sacraments. In there we get a chance to dialogue more, interact more, and we'll have a chance to listen to you, and that will really be helpful for us as we all try to grow and get better as a church. So I hope you'll do that. Also, the other new thing, of course, is the launch of our small groups that is happening, and this first session is just sort of for the game we used to play as kids was Kick the Can. And at the end, when somebody had won, you yelled, "Ollie, Ollie, I'll come in free," right? Well, this is sort of everybody come together at once. What will be small groups in people's homes will happen in subsequent months. But for this one, we're going to all be together for the first one. And I look forward to that with all of you. So right now, let me dig in then with you in this, again, this idea of knowing Jesus. It's the greatest joy that we have, and it's what we want to work through as today's message, and may God help us to do just that. This scripture starts out with rejoicing in the Lord. That theme of joy has been there every single week all the way along that we've been hearing. 14 times in this little four chapter verse we hear this. And just as a reminder for us, this was the first time the gospel has been brought to Europe. It's starting to spread now throughout the world. We had heard last week in Philippians chapter 2 that we're encouraged to have the same mindset as Jesus. That when our attitude is like his, that we want to put others ahead of ourselves, then we are going to be in that healthiest place and that strongest place, and have that love flowing through us and blessing other people. And the starting point for all that is right where Jesus started. He started out loved by the Father in his baptism and hearing that voice. We start out that way as well. And when we come from a foundation of being loved, then putting others ahead of ourselves, showing them love because we first received love, gets a lot easier to do. So with that in mind, we move on, and we want to look today at what we're focusing in on. And I'm not able to control these, Ed, so if you could move to the next slide, I'd be so grateful for you. I appreciate that. But we want to look today and now focus in on this one particular phrase from verse 14 that says, I press on toward the goal. We'll look at the first verses in the chapter in a little bit as we kind of understand that. But this idea, I forget what is behind, and I press on and strain towards what is ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize. We all like prizes, don't we? I mean, that's why you eat the box of Cracker Jacks. It isn't that good after all. You want the prize, right? We all want the prize. And so the prize is this upward call in God through Jesus Christ, of God calling, come on to me. I have a better life for you. Come on to me. I have greater strength and peace for you. It is that upward call. That's the prize, this prize of knowing and being known by Jesus. Now, there's a lot of difference between knowing and knowing about. Like, I know that J.J. Watt had 12 and a half sacks last year, right? And I'm hoping for 13 or 14 this year. I know about what he weighs, and I know about his fiance's name, and yada, yada. We can know a lot of things about someone, but to know someone is very different. To be able, know someone so well, like a dear friend or a spouse or a sister or brother that we know so well, we could almost complete their sentences. We, you know, you see the look on their face, you go, I bet she's thinking this. You just know someone that well. It is that knowing, that's the prize. And he's inviting us upward. Come on to me. I want you to know me even more. I want you to know even more of my strength, even more of my peace. That's the prize I have for you. Ed, let's go on to the next one if you could do that for us. Knowing and becoming like Jesus, that's the prize. Okay, and we want to look at now how we go ahead and get there. And where do we find that prize? Where is this at? Well, I'll tell you where, first of all, where it's not at. It's not from a righteousness that is my own. Verse 9, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law. Here's the way I want to try to put it for you visually, right? You can go back one, Ed. That slide there of the guy, he's got a righteousness of his own, right? He's out there in the middle of the ocean with his little life preserver. How's that going to work, right? How well is that going to succeed out there all alone, struggling by that? We don't want that righteousness of just us floating and struggling and trying to get by. Instead, we want the righteousness that Jesus offers, like him reaching out to Peter, sinking, and reaching out to him and lifting him up out of the waters. And that's our next one. We'll take a look at it. There's Jesus lifting him out. We want his strength. We want his righteousness. That's the prize that's there for us and that comes through faith, a righteousness from God. I can never be right enough on my own, say enough right things, or if I do, you know, it's sort of like the old thing of some of the people all the time or all the people some of the time, you know, you can't quite fool it, you can't quite pull it off. We can't do righteousness, all the righteousness we need all of the time on our own. That's why we need him. And that's what he offers to us. The strength of Jesus is it's his righteousness that fails. And the people around Paul got this wrong. Let's look at our next slide and take a look at this. This is what I was trying to get across in our children's message. The people around Paul that we hear about in our first lesson, they think that you have to follow all of the Jewish rules first and then believe, oh yeah, Jesus is the Messiah on top of that. He's the cherry on top, but you've got to build that whole ice cream sundae yourself. And that's what's going on. They're saying they wanted all of them to follow the rules of Moses. Here, what does Paul say? How does he describe that in verses 1 through 8? He talks about, you know what, if anybody was a rule follower, it was me, okay? And let me use my life as an example for you. I was the most Jewish person there was. I was the best rule follower there was. Of the, you know, the highest of all rule followers, the Pharisees, I was, you know, in the top 1% of them as far as following all things. I had it all down. He summarizes it in verse 5. Circumcised in the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, and as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. I followed all the rules, Paul said. And you know where it got me? Zero. It got me nowhere. Even my best efforts as the best person following the rules out there is nothing compared to the relationship that's offered. That's our next slide. It's not about the rules. It's about the relationship. What you and I can't do as far as carrying the law of God and all those, carrying out all of those thou shalt and thou shalt nots, he carries us. He carries us in our sins. He carries us and brings us to the cross where our sins are nailed, where he dies in our place so that we get to live. He carries us then up out of that empty tomb along with himself and says, now you are going to live forever with me. I want you to know me, and I want you to know that peace and that strength. That's why Jesus would say, if you know me, you've seen the Father, from now on you do know him, and you have seen him, as we hear in the gospel, or as we hear in Paul talk about it. This is what I want to know. I want to know him. He's the one who has the power of the resurrection. I want to know him, and even if it involves some suffering in my life, any little bit of suffering I'm going to have, when I know him, is going to be so much, the goodness, the greatness that's going to come, is going to be so much greater beyond that. I want to know him and even pass through death into the resurrection, because I know him and I trust him, and he's holding on to me. That's what Jesus is offering. That's what Paul's highlighting here in Philippians 3. And we move on to our next. And here's what Paul suggests to us. Forget what's behind. Forget your failures. When we have failures and shame, we're looking back, we're always ducking, we don't look people in the eye, you know, if you really knew me, no way. And so we hold back. We don't allow ourselves to look up and fully know Jesus because shame and our failures, when we're looking there, keeps us looking down. We also want to forget our successes. Because as great as our past successes are, whether we were successful as a rule keeper or successful even as a follower of Jesus, that was yesterday, and he has something new for us today. He has bright hope for today and joy for tomorrow, the hymn says. And he's offering that strength and that gift to all of us. We press on, and we forget what's behind, and we strain to what is ahead. What do you have, Jesus? What's your new word for me today? What's the encouragement you want to offer me in today's situation? Because the way we solved it in the past is not necessarily going to be how God wants to solve it today. You know, he told the people of Israel, march around the city of Jericho one time a day. But on the last day, he said, we're going to do it different this time. You're going to march around seven times here on the last day. We always want to check in with God and look ahead. What is it you want me to do today? So we forget what's the past. And whether it's good or bad, and we press towards forward. And what are we pressing towards? As our next slide talks about, we are focusing not on the past or this. Oh, that's the one I already did. I had my mistake. See, I don't have them in front of me. We're a little off on our tech today, so thanks for bearing with us. The prize is God calling you upward. God saying to his child, to every woman and man here, come to me. Come to me. Let me strengthen you. Let me guide you. Let me be your north on your compass. You know, the other day I was doing some research and, you know, just this idea of trying to find peace, trying to find serenity. And I Googled it. I looked in Google Maps. Where do I find serenity? It didn't show up. I looked in Google Maps and where do I find sanity? It didn't show up. But when we look to him instead of technology or friends or our past, or, you know, whatever it is, when we look to him and that upward call he has in our life, he can bring us through. And that's the gift that he offers to us. That's the prize that's there. I think we've got one last one we want to show you. This reminder from the end of the chapter where it says that our citizenship is in heaven. You've really got two passports. You may have a passport here for the United States or wherever country that you happen to have one from if you're a citizen of another country. But you definitely, all of us, have a passport to heaven, a passport from heaven. You are God's child. You belong there. So we're looking upward at the values God has. We're looking upward as that's our real home. We're looking upward as that's the place he's preparing for us. That's what is better and best for us. And we want to be as close to Jesus as we can, following in that relationship with him, following him instead of worrying about following rules. May God help all of us as citizens of heaven to grow in that now and always. Amen? Amen. All right, I want to invite you to...